Hello and welcome back to Jogging the Cake, the Couch to 5K podcast for fat lazy bastards. If you haven't listened to the previous week's podcasts, please make sure you go back and do that before listening to this episode. So, to all my loyal followers and fans and joggers, let's get straight into your 5-minute warm-up walk. First of all, a humongous well done for making it to week 6, day 3. I can't believe it. If you follow this program all the way through to where we are now, then an absolutely amazing well done. I just got my little podcast book in front of me and looking back at week 1 when it was running for 1 minute and you couldn't believe at the start of that you'd be able to do it. And now you're, well, smashing it. So, week 6, day 3, WTF, OMFG, whatever. Absolutely amazing that you've got this far. So, week 6 has been slightly different, there's been a bit of variety, and pleased to tell you that that is the last week of the changing days. From here on in, it's the same thing all the way through. Happy days. What I mean by that is week 7, week 8, and week 9 will consist of solid runs with no breaks in between. So gone are the days of walk, run, walk, run, walk, run. Today's jog, as I've said previously, is going to be a 25 minute jog. Last week, week 5, day 3, you did a 20 minute jog. So if you think about that, this is just 5 minutes more. Use all that positive energy that you can muster. Think of those goals and the reasons why you're doing this, and hopefully you want to make a positive change in your life or whatever personal reasons you've got, and let that carry you through today. But you've got a 5-minute warm-up walk before that, so you've got plenty of time to psych yourself up and, you know, plenty of time to turn this podcast off and think, fuck this, and go home. Only joking, please make sure you don't do that, and please make sure you carry on with this. So I'll check in with you soon. As always, a huge thank you to everybody that's got in touch. If you aren't one of those people yet, then please do get in touch. JoggingTheCake@gmail.com on email, and JoggingTheCake on Instagram and Twitter. It's been really nice to see lots of pictures and hear lots of stories and, you know, get lots of comments and conversations with people through the magical world of the internet. It's also been really awesome as well to see that people are following this journey and having their own journey as well, their own jogging journey, and hopefully making positive changes in their life. So yeah, it's really awesome. So don't forget, joggingthecake@gmail.com, joggingthecake on Instagram and Twitter. I want to get joggingthecake in everybody's ears across the world. So happy days. It'll be just my luck that, you know, I do this podcast and then forget about it, and then 15 years later, it'll be like super famous, and I'll be like, oh, I can't really be arsed now because I've got really fat again. Just my luck. Anyway, talking absolute bollocks, so you've got a good idea of what's in store. It's just me talking bollocks for the whole half an hour. So carry on with that walk, and I'll let you know when it's time to begin your first jog of the day. Just some thoughts on your 25-minute jog. It is a long jog, there's no way of getting around that, but this is what we've been building up for, okay? Getting up to those 25 and 30-minute, ultimately 30-minute jogs, without stopping. So the two magic rules that will carry you through. The first one, obviously, is don't forget to breathe. Breathe properly, keep a check when you're breathing. That's a good indicator of if you're going too hard. And the second magic rule is, for fuck's sake, go slow. Okay? It doesn't matter how slow you go. Just think you're lapping all those people that are still sat on the couch. I've always wanted to say that in conversation because I saw it in a meme somewhere. And I thought it was really cool, but really cheesy. So just go nice and slow. Remember that breathing, okay? If you're struggling, if you've got a stitch, if your lungs feel like they're going to implode, and come out your mouth or out your arsehole, then slow down. All you've got to do is slow down. So I've got every faith in you. So yeah, 3, 2, 1, off we go. Okay, doing really well. Okay, that's 1 minute gone already, so only 24 of them to go. I promise I won't do that at every minute. So as I explained in day two and day three of this week have been a sort of part A and part B in terms of the topics that I'm going to discuss to bore the shit out of you on your long jogs. So in day two, if you listened to that, which I hope you did, we were answering questions from real live listeners. Day three is exactly the same, so I'm just going to be doing a little Q&A session with questions that people have sent in, and I'm going to try and answer them with all of my running knowledge, which, as you know, and as I said previously, is absolutely sod all, so that's quite exciting. So let's kick it off with the first question, and this one is a really good one, is should I buy expensive trainers? Does it matter what shoes I wear? So, in answer to this question, in my personal experience, no, I've never paid more than sort of £50 for a pair of trainers. I have done a lot of research into trainers, and there are some absolutely shit-hot, amazing ones out there. But I don't really understand the point. Like, what's that bloke's name from years ago who ran a 4-minute mile? Roger Bannister. He 100% did not have a £150 pair of trainers. He just probably just wore those little dap things, and he was a good runner, apparently. I remember his name anyway. But in all seriousness, you don't really need to spend megabucks on a pair of trainers. You can if you want to, and if you've got the means to do that, then fine. But we live in, you know, conservative post-coronavirus UK, and in general, across the world, times are hard, unless you're, you know, one of those dickheads with the Bentley. Times are hard, and I don't want to say yes, you need to buy expensive trainers, because that might exclude somebody who can't actually afford it. You know, they are a luxury. But in terms of trainers, you just need, you know, comfortable shoes that fit properly, that you like, and that give you the right support. There's, you know, awesome shops out there that you, and online as well, that you can get shoes properly fitted to your stride and to your feet and to your body and to your style. Would recommend doing that. I haven't done it personally, but I've, you know, read awesome reviews from people who have done it, so really worth doing. But, you know, you need to get a decent pair of shoes, as in not falling apart, but you don't need to pay megabucks. So, like I said, but, you know, I paid max £50, I've got a pair of trainers for £35, they don't last as long. But yeah, so in answer to your question, should I buy really expensive trainers? No, you should not. So yeah, thanks for that question. It's pretty awesome. First one. Okay, just letting you know that you've done 5 minutes of your first run of the day. So happy days, absolutely brilliant. Okay, on to our next question. I had this from somebody on email, thank you very much. Was, should I follow a specific diet? Again, I did answer a question in the first podcast in day two about losing weight, and this is sort of linked into that, just to reiterate that point, that any diets you can buy are all bullshit. And I don't care if I get sued for that one. You're being sold a product, you're not being sold a diet. You just need to look at calories in versus calories out. If you burn more calories than you consume, then that's a diet. And I fucking hate the word diet. If you're thinking of it as a diet, then it's just temporary, isn't it? So think of it as whatever you want, but not as a diet. So, sorry, can't answer that question. But whatever works for you, whatever's healthy and doesn't put you in danger. So, yeah, thanks for that question. Let's move on swiftly. Okay, so time for one more question. And this question is, should I buy an activity tracker and do I need one for Couch to 5K? What the fuck is an activity tracker? I'm assuming they mean probably a watch or a wearable. So that's totally up to you. Again, I wouldn't want to say yes, you have to, because you really don't need to. And I don't want to exclude anybody who may not be able to afford it, because they are quite pricey and they are like luxuries more than this, well, definitely not necessities. In terms of running a Couch to 5K plan, you absolutely don't need one if you have a smartphone, which most people do now, and there are really good apps available on smartphones that sort of measure what you need in terms of time and being able to play my voice and connect to your headphones, you know, more than adequately, in an ample way or whatever the phrase is. You don't really need a smartwatch. Personally, I do have a smartwatch, but that's not really anything to do with exercise. I just am a bit of a nerd, so love it. Don't get me wrong, it is awesome to have for exercise. I have an Apple Watch. I've had a couple over the years. I think I'm on a Series 4 now, but that's, I'm not a motivator for buying it. It wasn't fitness, but it would be now. They are awesome because they give you a sort of social side to it. You can link up with other people in your contact list, and you can sort of have competitions, you can set yourself challenges. It's quite personalizable. It's just that really user-friendly Apple-ness, you know, whatever floats your boat. Some people love it, some people hate it. That's absolutely fine. Not product placement either, it's just personal choice for me. But if Apple do want to sponsor me, then, you know, please talk to my legal team and we'll see what we can do. Have had other more affordable smartwatches in the past, and they were awesome as well, really good, do different things, you know, measure steps. It depends on what you want, really. There's lots out there. You can get fairly cheap ones that do active things, and you can get really expensive ones. There are some awesome makes out there, and, you know, one person will tell you one thing and one person will tell you another. So yeah, totally up to you, really. Have a little research. But in answer to your question, in terms of Couch 5K, no, you definitely do not need a smartwatch. Absolutely not, because there are apps on your smartphone, or even just like a normal watch, that will do exactly the same thing. So thanks for that question, a really interesting topic. Maybe that should have been the subject of a whole podcast, but never mind. Anyway, you are over 10 minutes in to your 25-minute jog, so I hope it's going okay. just checking in to say, you know, if you're going too fast, then please slow down. Snailing trainers, remember that, you're doing really well. Really impressed. Okay, so I've got another question, which is actually a statement and a question. Somebody obviously didn't read the memo. So the statement is, I always have to carry my phone. And the question is, what shall I bring with me? What do you carry your stuff in? So I think I've spoken about this before. For me, I have a little armband and a running belt. If I'm doing quite a long run or, well, the running belt, to be honest, is just like a little bum bag that you can just fit sweets in, which is really probably not the best advice. But you can put like keys and shit in it. What do I bring with me on a run? I bring my key, normally just my house key if I'm going from the house, obviously, or my car key if I've gone from the car. I don't know why you needed that explicit detail. And I bring headphones, which are wireless, but whatever you've got, I suppose. And I bring my phone so I can play this podcast and listen to my voice when I'm doing my runs. You know, you can... It's probably good, depends on what country you're in, you might need to bring ID with you, and maybe if your phone doesn't accommodate contactless stuff, maybe a bank card or, you know, some cash just for emergencies. But yeah, definitely a phone, because you never know what might happen if you're sort of out on your own somewhere. You might, I don't know, break your leg and need to call an ambulance, or you might just want to take a selfie and upload it and hashtag dog on the cake. But yeah, an armband would really recommend if you like them. Some people don't get on with them, but they're really cool and you can get them for like a fiver on eBay, or possibly a bum bag running belt thing. There are a couple of branded ones online as well, which I've seen, which I haven't done yet. So if anybody's got any feedback on them, be good to hear that. Awesome, thanks for that question. Oh, another good question. Do I really need to do the warm up and warm down? All I'm going to say for this one is absolutely fucking yes, you do. You need to do the warm up and you need to do the warm down. Otherwise, you will just be stiff and sore and in bed and not able to jog anymore. So yes, you fucking do. Thanks for the question though. Really appreciate that one. Clearly haven't listened to any of my warm up or warm down podcasts, but never mind. Okay, doing really well, and you are halfway through today's jog, so massively impressed. That's absolutely awesome. Halfway point. So what you've done is, and actually you're more than halfway now, because I've just carried on talking shit. So you've got less in front of you than you have behind, I think, that way. So another question from one of my loyal fans is, what does that say? Should I redo a day if I can't complete? Oh, right. Okay. Should I repeat a day if I can't complete it? Yeah, I absolutely definitely think you should. If, for example, you, I really should have said this earlier on in the podcast and not at the end of week six, but never mind. I'll do a little clip or something and tag it on the start. Yeah, if you struggle to complete a day, which is absolutely fine if you do, it happens to everybody, then definitely don't just go on to the next day. And you know, if you sort of get through, I don't know, day three of a certain week, and you only get halfway, and you just can't go on, that's absolutely fine. Don't beat yourself up, just, you know, whatever, turn it off and do it again. Definitely don't go on to the next day if you haven't completed the previous one. Always try and complete the days, because that'll give you that sort of firm foundation and just we're building up endurance. Okay, we're not about pace and speed here. It's just about like endurance and resilience. So yeah, really good question. Thank you very much for that. Yes, definitely repeat a day if you fail it. Okay, next question is, should I be doing other or different exercises on my rest days? So in answer to this question, from a professional, sporty, experienced point of view, I haven't got a fucking clue because I'm not professional, sporty or experienced in sport whatsoever. But from a personal point of view, I would say yes. It's totally up to you to do whatever you want. I talked about the importance of rest days and how they don't actually mean physically resting for 24 hours and staying in bed or horizontal all day, but doing some meaningful exercise. So walking is an awesome one. Just go for sort of half an hour walk, half an hour minimum. Go for half an hour walk. Just stay active. It just means not working the same muscle groups or putting them under continuous stress. So in terms of cross training, what I do on my rest days, and not every day, not as a rule, is I cycle or I walk. You can swim as well. I'm not advertising any of these. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I just, to be honest, I cycle because I really enjoy it and I purely do it for fun. I don't like care about like these stupid words like cadence and speed and whatever and reps and that absolutely I do not give a shit because I just do it for fun and it's a good way of cross training and working different muscles and staying active. Luckily it's like something you enjoy. If you're someone that really struggles to enjoy exercise, it's quite a difficult one. So I would say just find something you like. You know, there's loads of, like, even if you just want to do something in the house, like on a games console or something like that, that's really awesome. Or strength training, I don't know much about it. It's something I'm sort of looking into, but not really got the balls to start doing it. I'd love to be getting ripped, like, but it's probably not going to happen because anxiety will take over. But yeah, strength training is supposed to be really awesome. I've done a bit of research into that. So can't really advise on what you should do. But yes, you should definitely be cross-training on your rest days. And I don't mean, you know, going really hard. Just doing something and just staying active and just generally trying to be fitter and healthier. You are almost at the end of this jog. You've got a little bit left, but not that much. So just keep going, keep that pace going. You're doing so, so well. And then you've nearly finished week 6. So absolutely amazing. So a couple more questions before we finish. Another one, should I stretch? Well, actually, the research says, and I don't quote me on this research because I think I might have just sort of read it on one Reddit forum, is no at the moment. Your warm-up walk and your warm-down walk should be sufficient. In terms of injury or preventing muscle strain, then maybe you should stretch, but then you need to ask like a physiotherapist and not me. But at the moment, I don't really, unless I've got an injury or something sore, and then I just sort of do my own thing. But I think the general consensus in the running community that I lurk around, or just online, is no if you're doing your warm-up walk and warm-down walk. Not saying that stretching's bad, but I think stretching before a run, please don't quote me, but stretching before a run is more frowned upon than stretching after a run, or something like that. I'm probably going to definitely get pulled up on that bollocks answer. But yeah, thanks for that question. Okay, another question. Is it better to run on a treadmill or outside? This is like a million-dollar question, I suppose. It's, again, it's absolute personal preference. I know people that can run on treadmills at, like, you know, a pretty good speed for hours and fucking, well, I'm exaggerating, for a long time. And then you ask them to jog outside and they can't do it. So they're totally different in my experience anyway, like absolutely totally different. I personally prefer jogging outside in when it's dry and nice and summer or spring. Just because like it keeps me sort of stimulated, I think, just like looking around and I'm nosy as fuck. So I can like look in people's windows and look at all the nice cars that I go past and all the nice houses. But have jogged on a treadmill. I think it's just more treadmills for me. I like, I go to the gym in the winter when I really don't want to go jogging in the dark or the cold. But yeah, totally up to you, really. To be honest, that is 100% down to you. And as you go through like your sort of exercise journey or whatever, you'll find what works for you. Yeah, so, you know, totally up to you. Happy days. Okay, we're going to have one more question and then we're going to be at the end of this jog. I can't fucking believe it. So absolutely amazing. Well done. Pretty cool, in fact, because as I just looked down my list, I've actually only got one question left. Promise I didn't even plan that. It just worked that way. Happy days. Anyway, that was a pointless fact for you. So the last question is, should I join a running group? Have you run with other people? So that's two questions, but I'll let you off. So in terms of a running group, I haven't joined a running group, but I probably definitely will as soon as the COVID restrictions are lifted and they're allowed to do it again. I think that that's a sort of like, when you're doing Couch to 5K, then unless it's a Couch to 5K group, then you don't really, there's not much need for a running group, I don't think, but please feel free to prove me wrong. But as you progress after the 5K and you need to sort of move on to that next target, whatever that may be, I would say there's some really good points to a running group, but I'm talking purely hypothetically because I haven't actually joined one. But yeah, really actually looking forward to joining one. Parkrun, if you haven't heard of it, is absolutely awesome. I don't know the full facts, so I don't want to sort of misrepresent them, but from what I do know, it's like an international, like global organization, like separate little organizations that form part of this big group, that offer like free, I think they're free possibly, I'm not really sure, I'm pretty sure they are, running groups all around the world. They just have a look for Parkrun and, you know, Google Parkrun and wherever you live and see what happens there. So that's probably the best one, or the most well-known one, but there are shitloads, and I know a lot of sort of private gyms and health centers do their own running groups. So yeah, definitely join one. I'll actually let you know how that goes when I do eventually join one. And what was the other question? Have you run with anybody else? Well, probably like away from something maybe. In terms of exercise, yeah, I quite enjoy running with other people. It's really quite challenging to run or to find somebody when you're first starting out who is a decent enough runner to be like to actually want to go for a run socially and not go for a pint. Somebody that will like have the patience to do your run, if that makes sense. Because I think joggers that I know, stereotypically, they don't really like going slower than they can, or, you know, they don't like going backwards, if that makes sense. So it's really, if you can find somebody like a friend who will go with you, then yeah, absolutely do it. That's awesome. Obviously you've got me in your ears, but not only for the next 3 weeks. After that, yeah, definitely. I think there's strength in numbers, isn't there? And someone to keep you going. I've been for jogs with people who are much, you know, much better, much more experienced runners than me. Not that that's fucking hard, like, because most people are. And I found it really good because I sort of had a benchmark to put myself against, but again, totally up to you. Just the main thing is, I suppose, just like enjoy yourself, like have fun and like reap the benefits, not just of getting fit, but like of just like spending time with somebody or doing something or whatever. So yeah, thank you so much for those questions. That was pretty awesome. And as I just said and closed that off, that must mean that it is time to slow down to your 5-minute warm down walk. So I'm a bit speechless because you've just jogged for 25 whole fucking minutes. 2 5s. So that's like 5 lots of 5 minutes, but all in one. Without stopping, no walks in between. Absolute grade A fucking legend. Amazing. Well done. Just slow down now to that recovery walk. I think I already said that, but just telling you again to slow down. Just take it nice and slow. Really important now that you just keep that momentum in that walk and just don't stop. Just slow down, breathe or whatever. Do that weird thing that athletes do when they put their hands on their knees and they exhale really deeply and go, whatever you need to do. Sounded like a seal being sat on then. I'm going to shut up now because I'm just so excited that you've run for 25 minutes. I can't stop fucking talking. I'm going to press pause on my recording and I'm going to put that shitty YouTube music in. Sorry, YouTube, and thanks. And yeah, I'm going to check in with you soon. Sorry about that. I've calmed down now. Just proper chuffed for you that you've just ran for 25 minutes without stopping. It's like an amazing achievement. And when you think back to where we were 6 weeks ago, or, you know, week one, whenever you started this, and the thought of running for just 1 minute was like, oh my fucking God, there's no way I can do this. And you just ran for 25 solid minutes. Like, that is an awesome achievement. So I think at times like this, really important to sort of reflect on your goals and your reasons for doing this. Really sort of look back to the start. I think I did ask you to write them down somewhere, even if that went just write them down mentally, and just reflect on that when you get home. And just think like, you know, absolutely, what an achievement. Absolutely smashed it. So yeah, well done on completing week 6, day 3 and week 6 in general. So you've only got 3 weeks left, and then I promise you, you'll be able to run for half an hour and hopefully a 5k. So yeah, absolutely smashed that one. Again, talking absolute bollocks, so I'll just be quiet for a couple of minutes and I'll check in with you in a sec. So obviously the most important thing of all in this whole day, this whole session, this whole podcast is to take a sweaty selfie, take a picture of your trainers that are probably stinking and tight and horrible by now because you just jogged for 25 minutes. Take a picture of the lovely scenery around you. I don't care if it's a fucking drain on the road. Take a picture and tell the whole world that you've just jogged for 25 minutes. Send it to your nan. Send it to your kids, send it to your boss, send it to whoever, send it to yourself if you want to stick it on your fridge. But whoever the fuck you send it to and wherever the fuck you post it, don't forget the hashtag Jogging for Cake. So I can feature you and make you super famous with my 1.6 billion followers. I'm joking, I think I've got about 50. But yeah, awesome. Don't forget that sweaty selfie. A really good time as well, if you don't mind, not that I give a fuck if you mind at all, because this is my podcast and it's just me sat in my living room talking into my coffee table. This is probably a really good time for me to please, please, please ask you to leave a 5-star review on your podcast provider if you can. I know some podcasts don't let you do that, but if you're using Apple Podcasts, then please do. If you're not using Apple Podcasts and you know somebody who's got an Apple device, then just say, oh, can you just type in Jogging for Cake on the podcast app? And then all you've got to do is just scroll down a little bit after you press show all episodes and press 5 stars. That's all you've got to do. Don't have to write a review. Can if you want. If it's 3 stars, then go fuck yourself. Not interested at all. Give me 5 stars because then it really does help. On a serious note, though, obviously, I do love the 5-star reviews. But by reviewing a podcast or sharing a podcast, it really does just sort of not so much boost up the ratings, but it does boost it up to the sort of top of the page. It helps me sort of reach people that may actually really need this podcast. Maybe the podcast that saves their life, hopefully. Bit of a sweeping statement there. But, you know, there's absolutely no way I can compete with the big businesses who've got apps like this. I started this podcast because I was sick of all the just ridiculous celebrities and, you know, robots and beeps that wanted to get people jogging and being healthier. I wanted somebody who was just completely normal and said it like it was and was totally honest. So if I can help just sort of one person, then I'd be a very happy bloke. So yeah, a like or a share or just even telling somebody or a tag or definitely a review. really does help. So we'll be really chuffed if you could do that. But yeah, thank you very much. So make sure you have a rest day. A massive well done again for today. And I'll see you after your rest day for week 7, day 1. Bye-bye.